Welcome back into another edition of the Dapped on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Corey Kinnon. We are now about 3.5 weeks out from the draft. So we're closing down on this 2025 cycle here. And before we get all the way out of it, we want to go back and rebuild some of the prospects that we built over the summer. So pretty much a superlative episode here where we take different traits of the position and we build our perfect running back out of running backs in this class. It'll be cool to kind of go back through and compare to what we said in the fall, compared to what we're kind of building now with those running backs. But again, I didn't build my own running back. Dalton also built a running back. So Dalton, how are you?
You know, this might be my flu game. I don't really know what's going on here. But obviously for me, it's 4 a.m. I have my coffee here. Woke up feeling a little bit under the weather, the tummy a little bit weird. Ate some chicken yesterday that was not bad. I don't think it was bad, but it might have been on the edge. The chicken here, when you get it at the grocery store, goes bad a little bit quicker. And so I was probably flirting with disaster, and I'm currently flirting with disaster. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but for this episode, I think I will be able to push through and score 40.
Let's go. I love it. I don't love the part about you being sick. I do love the Jordan flu game comparison, though. So let's get into this. So I'm going to do my best to remember who I chose for all of these players and all of these traits from when we did this in the fall. I might have some repeats here. Might have some new names, might have some rearranging as well. So we have it broken down into 7 traits here for the running backs: contact balance, vision, explosiveness, big playability, change of direction, receiving ability, and pass pro.
Yeah, so we had 6 the first time around. We had explosiveness and big playability together. I voted, I forced Corey. Twisted his arm to make that into 2 for this episode because I had 2 guys that I didn't want to choose between them. So let's get right into it. I can't remember. I literally watched the video last night to get all of the traits, and I already forget who I chose. It was a long time ago before the season. So let's start off here. Contact balance. Yours didn't change.
No, and again, what's hard about this is that I feel like I could use Ashton Jeanty for every single one of these categories.
For sure.
So it's trying to figure out where to use him in this exercise, for sure, with no repeats. And I don't use him on contact balance, even though I really feel like I could have. But when I look at this running back class, and really it is Jeanty and one other name, although you're using a name that's not either of the 2 names that I just mentioned or one that I didn't mention, one I'm about to mention. But it's going to be Omarion Hampton for me. There are a lot of cool things that Hampton can do. I think I probably could have used him for explosiveness too, because he does have some juice, even if he is a bit of a stiff runner. I wouldn't use vision on him, but I think contact balance is the way to go here to use Omarion Hampton. The dude is just an absolute tank. Very hard to bring down. Again, we're talking about misforced tackles again, compared to, you know, using PFF's data and yards after contact, 3rd in the nation, yards after contact, 2nd in the nation, I'm sorry, yards after contact, 3rd in the nation, in yards after contact per attempt. The dude is not a bowling ball because he's a pretty big dude, but it's rare to see a runner like him where he can absorb contact without giving up a yard. Like, I think I've mentioned this with like Cam Scataboo, and you threw Cam Scataboo and his ability to bounce off runners is more of like a ergonomic thing as a runner.
It's a parry. It's a parry thing.
Yeah.
Like he's parrying a blow rather than, you know, forcibly getting into it.
Hampton is literally like running into a brick wall for defenders because he doesn't he absorbs the blow, almost like the Black Panther vibranium kinetic energy suit. He just absorbs all of the energy and gives it right back. So I'm going to use Omarion Hampton here for contact balance.
Yeah, and listen, I could have very easily used Omarion Hampton. I could have very easily used Ashton Janty for this as well. But I went a little bit different. I went with the LSU transfer to the University of Cincinnati. I went with Corey Kiner. He is built like a bowling ball, and that is exactly how he runs. He was second in the nation, tied with Cam Scadabo, for missed tackles forced this year. And he has that same sort of explosiveness and contact balance that Omarion Hampton has. Now, he's not as big, obviously. He's not 6 foot 225. He is like 5'9", 215. So he's big. He is stacked together. He is muscular. But he is also a guy who will run through your face and not lose his balance. And the thing with me isn't just the contact balance to kind of bounce off of tackles, but when your base is upset, to be able to like find that hand and get it down so you can keep your feet and keep going for extra yards. And that's something that Corey Kiner does quite well as well. So he is my contact balance guy. Let's move on to vision. And we have different guys here again.
We do. We do indeed. Why don't you bat? Why don't you bat lead off on this one?
Yeah, it's Caleb Johnson. And it's just because every time he gets the ball, every time he touches the ball, his eyes, his torso, his feet, everything is connected exactly where it needs to go to maximize that run. And yes, it looks a lot prettier a lot of the times because he is in such a wide zone heavy offense. So it really shows his creativity and ability in that specific scheme. And so if you want to talk about like a well-rounded runner, maybe Johnson wouldn't be it because he is a primarily zone runner. But I do think what he does in that niche is something that I've never really seen before.
Yeah. Again, Caleb Johnson is, I thought about using Caleb Johnson here too. I've got him a little bit later down my list as well. One of my absolute favorite players in this class has been since September, October. This is where I'm going to use Ashton Janty. It's just so tough to find the appropriate place to use a top three player in this class. In my opinion, I'm going to use it on Janty. I could use it on all these trades. But again, I think his eyes work well. He finds backside cuts well. His eyes keep working as he hits second level, third level. He's very good at continuing to seek out green grass. I don't think I need to talk a lot more about it. Again, we're talking about a complete running back here and a top three player in this class. So moving on to explosiveness. We have the same name here. We have the same player here. And this is going to be Texas's Jaden Blue. Were you shocked at his vertical jump at his pro day for how explosive he is on tape?
Is some guys, I think just like the 40 as well, everything is a little bit technical. And so if you think that you're just going to go out there and do it, maybe that's something that kind of happens. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Because
it is. We're talking some guys. 30.
I know. We've seen weird stuff like that before.
Yeah.
Where maybe the guy is just so smooth that the like explosiveness might not like. There's just such an efficiency in how he moves on the ground when it comes to that sort of explosiveness compared to the vertical jump. Did he broad jump?
10.3, so also not highly impressive. Yeah. 4.38 40 though, which was expected. 29.5 vert. Like that blows my mind.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's explosive on tape. He gets it going. He's got a jetpack on the field, turns quarters, corners, burns angles. Explosive, working vertical in the passing game too. He'll burn any linebacker safety. You try to put him on a wheel route. So That one feels a bit self-explanatory there as well, to go with explosiveness with Jaden Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one is big playability, and tell me who you got.
Yeah. So for big playability, I'm going to go with the guy who is third in breakaway yards, is fourth in breakaway percentage, fifth in breakaway percentage, I'm sorry, and is second in runs over 15 yards here. And I'm going to go with UCF's RJ Harvey. Again, a 4-4 athlete as well. So it all translates to how he wins, how he tests, how he wins. I do wish he was a little younger, but you know that you can't have everything, especially at the running back position there. But in terms of big playability, and again, the two guys that he's routinely behind on these breakaway yards and runs over 15 yards are Caleb Johnson and Ashton Jeanty. So again, using those guys elsewhere on my list, I'm going to go with RJ Harvey here for big playability.
Yeah, not a bad one. I think that he is a return man at the NFL level. I think that he is a very, very dangerous return man at the NFL level. And you can see that in the breakaway ability that he does have. This is where I went with Ashton Jeanty. The most big plays in college football by a mile. The most yards after contact. And he touched the ball a ton, obviously. But he is very, very special. And it comes to everything: his athletic ability, his vision, contact balance, creativity, and package all of that together into one, and you have an extremely well-rounded back who can make splash plays at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I feel like we've probably spent how many like minutes to hours do you think we've spent talking about Ashton Jeanty since the fall to now?
Probably not enough, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we just kind of, he's there. He's the best. It is what it is.
That's fair. That's probably pretty fair there. All right. Change of direction. I love your pick for this one, by the way.
Yeah. And he played the sum of 2024 with a busted up knee, played some of 2023 with a busted up knee, still makes people miss like they're standing still. It is Virginia Tech's Bashaul Tutten. Even with the big ass knee brace on, he was making dudes miss. He just has that natural short area in a phone booth quickness to make you look absolutely silly. I hope he's able to stay healthy at the NFL level. I hope that he kind of fixes the ball security issues, because he is a fun, fun back to watch.
He is indeed lightning in a bottle when he's on the field. So this is where I'm taking Caleb Johnson off the board. Vision is such a good one, but when I think about a guy at 6'1", 220, again, he's a 4.55 athlete. We knew it all season. He went out and ran a mid 4.5. So like, we knew that, but like, what I love is how quick his feet are at that size, how easily he can stick his foot in the ground, how fluid his hips are, and his ability to reduce surface area when he's in the open field as well. It's really not his game to try to work through contact at a high level, to be honest, but which is kind of rare for being 220. But his ability to swivel hips, reduce surface area, and do it without blowing any of his acceleration out of his game as well. So the fluidity there is there while maintaining that top end speed that he's built up while working down the field. Again, that top end speed isn't 4.3 speed or 4.4 speed, but when it's live speed, it's live speed and it's still excellent. So I'm going to go Caleb Johnson for my change of direction.
Yeah. And that brings us to receiving ability. And this one is pretty self-explanatory for both of us.
Converted wide receiver
is Breshard Smith. I mean, it very much shows up on tape. It very much showed up at the Senior Bowl. This dude is a weapon out of the backfield. Now, what I will say is Jaden Blue is a dark horse candidate here as well, because he is very dangerous out of the backfield. But
we both had him as our receiving ability guy preseason. Or yes. In the fall when we did this.
Yes. And Smith is as a converted wide receiver, very, very good. And another like dark horse candidate for this is Rocket Sanders as well. I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Ad nauseum, whenever we bring up Rocket, is just his route running ability and just general feel for playing as a split out wide receiver. And it's it's tough because you get a lot of boring receiving work at the NFL or at the college level when it comes to running backs. And so when you do see a guy actually like split out wide running routes, you get your juices flowing and you get really excited. Mm-hmm. And that's something that that those guys can do at a high level.
Yeah, 100% agree. I do worry about like if there is a role for him at the NFL level because he's 180 pounds playing running back.
Mm-hmm.
And even as like, I think the ideal fit for him would be like a Kenneth Gainwell type role, like what he did in Philadelphia or does in Philadelphia. But like, it's hard to find an overall role for Rashard Smith mm-hmm. at that size. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
And that brings us to pass pro, and we have the same name here, and it's pretty obvious if you have watched any running back tape or any sort of pass pro savant or aficionado this year. And our pass pro guy here is Travion Henderson. And this is worth mentioning that this is an excellent class of pass protectors
mm-hmm.
Out of the backfield, like all of,
especially at the top of the class.
Oh yeah. Ashton Jensen will throw his weight around. I wish I saw it a little more from Caleb Johnson. Omarion Hampton will throw his weight around. I wish I saw it a little more from DJ Giddens. Jaden Blue won't do it. But Travion Henderson, my goodness, the dude will put the crown of his helmet into your chest and he will look to lift and drive. So I wanted to use Travion Henderson for explosiveness, to be honest. I really wanted to, because that dude is just also a home run hitter. So I hated that I couldn't use him for explosiveness. And if I would have, I probably would have thrown in like LaQuint Allen here for pass pro, because for all the deficiencies in LaQuint Allen's game, that dude will also just step up and throw his weight around. But at the end of the day, I went Jaden Blue explosiveness and Travion Henderson here in pass pro.
Same. My favorite running back evaluation of all time, I think. That dude, the way that he plays the position is just exactly how you would teach it or want to teach it or want to draft somebody who taught it. Like, it's mm-hmm. just perfect. He is so good, and I hope that he ends up going where he deserves to go in April. I hope that the foot's okay. The medicals at the combine were all right because he deserves it.
Yeah, he was getting some late round one buzz there at the end of the combine. I don't know. I haven't really heard any. Like, it seems like Omarion Hampton has all the buzz right now.
Yeah,
which is odd because he's both of our running back four. Like, we'd like Caleb Johnson and Trey better than Omarion. That's not to take anything away from Omarion at that, but I just keep thinking about like Kansas City, either end of round one or end of round two. Like, if he falls all the way to 63, that would be a stellar landing spot for Trey Henderson. Like, they would love him in Kansas City. But that is our Frankenstein running back. To go back over that, Dalton for contact balance chose Cincinnati's Corey Kiner. For vision, Caleb Johnson from Iowa. Explosiveness, Texas's Jaden Blue. Big playability, Ashton Jeanty, Boise State. Change of direction, Virginia Tech's Spatial Tuten. Receiving ability, SMU's Rashad Smith. And then pass pro, Travion Henderson. For me, I went Omarion Hampton, contact balance, Ashton Jeanty, vision, Jaden Blue, explosiveness, UCF's RJ Harvey for big playability, Caleb Johnson for change of direction, Rashard Smith for receiving ability, and Travion Henderson for pass pro as well. So we overlapped three there on three of those trades. It's not mm-hmm. terrible. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, this is Dalton's flu game. So I think we'll just go ahead and wrap this up at a quick little 20 minutes here. Dalton, do you have anything for the people?
I think I'm truly going through the flu game at this point.
Yeah.
So we are going to, like I said, we're going to get out of here and we're going to go try to fix this.
I love it. Again, it's 11 o'clock here for me. I've got some late night Guardians West Coast baseball on, so I'm going to do that. Mock draft hitting Daft on draft.football tomorrow, along with this podcast episode. So keep an eye out for that. Three rounds. I hope you hate it. But outside of that, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.